This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the Father and Son podcast. Last time you were watching us, we were in Masjid al-Nabawi in Madinatul Munawwara. Very, very amazing experience, mashallah. I miss it very much. I have made a personal decision to try and go back to Masjid al-Nabawi, Masjid al-Haram, Mecca, Medina, more than once a year. It's an amazing experience. Another thing that we need to mention in the beginning, subhanAllah, there is a tour happening very, very soon. Do you want to quickly tell them about that tour before we get into our discussion for today?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are talking about a tour through Ottoman history in Turkey. So this tour, historic tour, is going to take place from the 20th to the 25th of November 2023. Very limited spaces. Go ahead, book right now. Okay, you can find the details at halalgetaways.com. Halalgetaways.com. Inshallah, you'll find all the details there, how to book, who to speak to, and all the details are there. Okay, so you will have to book your flights as soon as possible because the tour is getting very close. So in this tour, we will basically visit Ottoman monuments from city to city, from sultan to sultan, from masjid to masjid, and you will be completely fascinated. We can guarantee that you will not come back the same person. And if you have kids, if you want to educate them about the history of Islam and the great magnificent monuments and sultans, then this is your golden opportunity to join us this November, inshallah, and check out halalgetaways.com.
Jazakumullah khairan. So, without further ado, let's get into today's topic of discussion, and we cannot ignore, you know, the elephant in the room, which is the situation that our brothers and sisters in Palestine are going through, in Palestine. First of all, we start off the podcast by making dua for them, that may Allah make things easy for them, ease their affairs, you know, subhanAllah, cure their sick, and really, really help them in this difficult time. Ameen. Continuing from that, I think it's very, very important. Nowadays, we have a lot of activism in terms of support for Palestine. It's a good thing, and it's a completely legal thing, okay? Saying you support Palestine, you support the right for Palestinians to live, etc., and saying things like free Palestine are not against the law. Okay, that's a very, very important thing that we need to mention. If they were, over 100,000 people would be arrested.
Exactly.
You know, because of
half a million, actually.
You know, many people have been coming to these protests every Saturday. So that's one point. What's really, really important, and in my opinion, a very, very important thing and place to start this discussion off is a brief history regarding the modern history of Palestine. I know there is a long history of Palestine, which includes Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, and we could include so many things, and, you know, the Israelites and Judah and Judea and all of this. And whatnot,
I actually talk about that.
You've done a whole lecture on that. It's on the channel. Everyone can go on the channel and check it out. But where I want to frame this, and the reason, first of all, I want to mention why it's important, and then I'll pass it right over to you so you can give us a brief history. The reason it's important is because instead of just saying free Palestine and being one of those people who says it without really knowing much about the cause, it's good to know about the cause. It's important. Education is power. Knowledge is power. So I want to start this off with the Ottoman period, the end of the Ottoman period, okay? Where we have Sultan Abdul Hamid II, okay, who is in power at the time, around 100 or so years ago, okay, and Palestine is officially under Ottoman rule.
Absolutely.
What happened in subsequent
years? For nearly 400 years, by the way.
Yeah, for many hundred years.
Ottomans came to power in Palestine in the year 1516 CE, to be precise, and they lost it exactly 400 years later, when in 1917, General Allenby, during the First World War, entered the city of Jerusalem, having taken it from the Ottomans. But before we get to that point, I want to very quickly mention that the Jewish people had been persecuted severely throughout the history of Christendom, the history of Europe, okay, to be precise. Jewish people were heavily persecuted, and they mostly found refuge in Muslim lands.
Yes.
For over 1,000 years, Jewish people lived with Muslims side by side, and prospered. They made progress. They produced some of the greatest scholars, philosophers, thinkers, poets, theologians, you name it. Some of the best Jewish academies in the world and I mean religious Jewish academies in the world, were in the Muslim lands, like Iraq. The Iraqi Jewish community is the oldest Jewish community in the world.
Mm-hmm.
After all, that's where the Babylonian Talmud came from. So, why am I mentioning this? I'm mentioning this, that this pattern of persecution continued as late as the 19th century.
Yeah.
Many Jewish people were persecuted. There was a lot of anti-Semitism in Europe in the 19th century.
Yeah.
And having seen all of this, one of the Jewish journalists called Theodor Herzl, he decided that something has to be done about it.
Yes.
The first
yes.
Zionist conference took place in Switzerland
yes.
in 1897, when many Jewish bankers, journalists, intellectuals, scholars, they came together and they decided that there has to be a Jewish state for the Jewish people, based upon the idea presented in Theodor Herzl's book, The Jewish State.
Yes.
Okay. Herzl is known to have approached Sultan Abdul Hamid to buy off the land of Palestine from him. He even offered him the prospect that we will pay off your debts you owe to the Europeans in return for the land of Palestine. And this is, by the way, recorded history. This is not just rhetoric. This is not just a story.
Yeah.
It actually took place, right? And you can read that in the memoirs of Theodor Herzl himself. So Sultan Abdul Hamid flatly refused this offer. And then came the First World War. This group of Jewish activists, predominantly Jewish activists, those who came to be known as the Zionists later on, or this movement came to be known as the Zionist movement, these people, they started to become more and more active within the British political circles and mm-hmm. somehow managed to influence the British government into promising the land of Palestine
yeah.
to the Zionist movement,
yeah.
not necessarily to the Jewish people. Because according to the Orthodox Jewish position, you cannot have a state until the Messiah comes. Okay? It's basically, it's like a blasphemy, it's like a blasphemous idea to have a state before the Messiah, the awaited Jewish Messiah. Okay? So, but this secular group of Zionist Jewish activists, they decided that they will basically overrule or override the Orthodox opinion and go for a state specifically in Palestine. And they called the land Zion. Zion means Palestine.
Yeah.
Okay. And they came up with this idea that the land was promised to the Jewish people in the Bible. Therefore, we have a right over it and we will take it by hook or by crook. And in 1917, when Britain took the land of Palestine from the Ottomans, the then Foreign Secretary of Britain called Arthur Balfour, he promised the land of Palestine to the Zionist movement. He wrote a letter, a famous letter, to Lord Rothschild at the time, and he promised him the land, even though the land doesn't belong to the British government. The land
yeah.
belongs to the farmers, the Palestinians,
yeah,
the Bedouin, people who were living on the land.
Yeah.
And many Jewish settlers started to move to the land of Palestine, and some of the land was bought from the Palestinians, but then the Palestinians came to realize what's actually happening. And slowly the land was basically occupied. I mean, it's a long story.
There's a point about the Balfour Declaration, which I want to mention. Obviously, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, one of the things that modern historians would mention about the Balfour Declaration is that in terms of within itself, its significance was, it's not a legally binding document, as in international law, right? The actual legally binding document that is international, like recognized by international law, etc., or whatnot, like the binding document was the mandate.
Yes.
Okay.
The British mandate.
The British mandate, which followed the Balfour Declaration. But the Balfour Declaration, we can't actually put that to the side and separate it from the mandate, because
from the
it basically ended up, it was a thing that led to the British mandate.
Exactly.
And something about the Balfour Declaration.
And the plan was already there.
Yeah.
The intention was there. For some reason, the land of Palestine was to be given to the Zionist movement.
Yes.
I don't like to say the Jewish people, because the Jewish people are free from such oppression
yeah.
and tyranny. Okay, we can't say all the Jewish people agree with this. We yeah. can't say that, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, they so don't. They don't. Even
they
today,
don't. They of don't. Course, yeah. there are they so don't. Many Jewish yeah. activists who are marching on the streets of London
yeah.
Lately, protesting against mm. the war that's going on today.
So, with regards to the Balfour Declaration, something I wanted to mention is today, when we are filming this podcast, it was exactly 106 years ago. Did you know that?
Yes.
Exactly, from today.
Yes.
From today, 106 years ago.
Okay.
So, 1917.
Yeah.
Right? Hmm. Exactly 106 years ago.
It was a catastrophe. It was a catastrophe. It was injustice. And it was theft. It was robbery of land against the wishes of the people who inhabited that land.
I mean, the local Palestinians were not even consulted
Just simplify things. Yeah. Someone walks into your house.
Yeah.
Okay. And you offer your living room to them
mm-hmm.
Out of your hospitality, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be kind to these people. And then these people decide to take the whole house to themselves and then force you into a toilet. And then they force you to drink the sewer,
yeah.
a drink from sewer
yeah.
and eat from sewer, basically, yeah. literally, okay? And if you get sick, you can't have medicine. You yeah. can't educate yeah. your children, okay? You're forced on gunpoint to live in the toilet. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Okay, yeah. This is the kind of situation what's happening today in Palestine. So it was in 1948 when the State of Israel yeah. was eventually formalized by the then League of Nations, later on called the United Nations, mm-hmm. unjustly. The land of the Palestinian people was given to the Zionist movement, and as a result, hundreds of thousands of Palestinian people were driven out of their homes. This was ethnic cleansing. This was terrorism on steroids. Okay? And you know what? Myself and Musa can simply not cover all the history.
There's so many things to mention.
There are so many things. Details. Muhammad Hijab did a podcast recently with Abdullah Andalusi on this. Mm-hmm. They went through a lot of history. Mm-hmm. So people can watch that that particular podcast yeah, if yeah. they want to go into detailed history of how all of this happened.
I mean, one of the things that I think might be good to mention is that historians actually discuss the reason as to why Arthur Balfour even wrote this in the first place. Yeah. And there are various theories that are discussed. You know, one of the theories being, obviously, like to appeal to influential Jewish people at the time, right? To appeal to them, etc.
No,
for the favor of Britain, you know, yeah. so that Britain, you know, can basically, you know, be in a favorable position in their eyes, etc. And there are various other reasons.
Yeah, it could be vice versa.
There are various other reasons yeah. historians mention as well.
The point is, today there's a war going on, there's a genocide yeah. taking place, right? Yeah. Right now, as we speak, okay, there is a genocide taking place,
mm-hmm.
okay? Close to 10,000 people, nearly 10,000 people have been killed. And Nearly half of them are children.
That's only in the last, since October 7th.
Yes, exactly. Right. In the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
In the last 3 weeks. Yeah. In the last 25 odd days, 10,000 people have been killed. This is a genocide.
Around 4,000 okay? of which are children.
This is, ethnic cleansing is a separate thing. This mm. is basically people being killed in cold blood. Okay. Bombs are being dropped on hospitals. In densely populated areas, powerful weapons are being employed. Okay, hundreds of people are losing their lives, and thousands are losing their limbs. They are getting, they're becoming permanently disabled. They're not allowed to get medical treatment. Hospitals do not have electricity. There is no internet. Okay, there is no water. There's no clean drinking water. Okay, these people are being treated in the worst way possible, worst manner possible. We cannot imagine. The only other parallels one can draw maybe the Mongol invasions in the Middle Ages or the Crusades, okay, or possibly, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What happened in Hiroshima when a bomb was dropped on the population and instantaneously, over 100,000 people died instantaneously, right? Okay, 10,000 is not far. 10,000 is a lot of people. Where is the conscience of the world? People talk about justice, peace, Okay, we want peace in the Middle East. We want peace in the Middle East. Where the hell is that peace? We don't see it. We don't see it for the Palestinians. We don't see it for the people of Gaza. Why are they being punished for the crimes of few? Why is the collective punishment being given to them? And I wonder, Musa, this is the point. I wonder why global leaders, important global leaders, in fact, Western leaders, why do they feel so terrified in speaking the truth? Why are they so scared? What are they scared of? Why are they speaking this way? Everyone knows they're human beings. They have a conscience. What is it that drives them to talk the way they're talking? They don't want the ceasefire. Some of them have voted against the ceasefire. Some of them have abstained. Western leaders, presidents and prime ministers.
Yeah, the UK at the UN.
Including the UK. Why?
The UK.
My question is why? What drives you? When having seen all those images, and I can guarantee you, if that kind of bombing and if that kind of killing was taking place somewhere in Europe or in the Western world, let's say, there would be an uproar. There would be, rightly so. Human beings are being killed. Humans are being killed. There are children dying. They haven't even seen the world. They don't know anything about the world. They haven't come out of Gaza. They are living in a boycott for the last 17 years. They haven't seen anything. And they're being killed. They're being taken away. Okay? And why are the global leaders so helpless, so powerless, or so immoral that they cannot speak the word of truth? They cannot say that this is a genocide, this is mass murder, this is a massacre, this is war crime, this is a war crime. Why can they not say this? And when they are repeatedly questioned by journalists, they don't have anything to say. They're just playing games with words, word games. Okay? For some reason, when it's the Palestinians being killed, legal interpretations come out. Okay, we don't know how to legally interpret this conflict. What the hell is wrong with you guys? What the hell is... I mean, 9/11 was bad enough. 3,000 people died in one day. Hey, we have 10,000 people killed already. When is this going to stop? When is this going to stop? How many more people do you want to kill before this stops? Okay, and every single global leader who talks in favor of the state of Israel and defends these actions is complicit. You are complicit in this. You are part of it. Remember this. You will go down in history as mass murderers, as apologists of genocide. You are apologists of genocide. All the journalists, all the media outlets, all the newspapers and TV stations and radio stations and all the politicians who are defending it, defending this genocide in one way or another, you are all complicit. You are all mass murderers. You will go down in history as mass murderers. Okay? And you will not have peace in life. You will not be able to live with yourselves after this is over. Okay? This will be over. And the good news is, this can never continue forever. We have learned from history of humanity that oppression cannot last. It will collapse, it will decline. Whoever is perpetuating this injustice, this genocide, this is going to end. Organically, it will going to end. This is the sunnah, or this is the way of the history. This is the sunnah of Allah. This is the sunnah of our being. Our recorded history has taught us that no tyrannical, oppressive power that kills innocent, helpless people will survive forever. This is going to end.
Yeah, subhanAllah. I mean, there are so many things to mention that are directly related to this topic. The dehumanization of the Palestinians, how in rhetoric. I mean, just today I was listening to, you know, Ilan Pappe. You know Ilan Pappe, the historian.
Mm.
He's a historian and professor of history out of the University of Exeter.
Mm.
And I was listening to him. He's got one of the most famous books on the topic, which I do recommend that you read. It's one of the main book recommendations on this topic. It's called The Ethnic Cleansing of the Palestinians, Ilan Pappe. And what's interesting about him is he is an Israeli historian.
Yeah.
He himself is an Israeli historian. By the way, he's not an anomaly in this situation where you have an Israeli historian talking about the, you know, reality.
No, there are many moral voices coming from Israel. Okay, yeah. There are Jewish Israelis who don't agree with this. They want this to stop. They want the Palestinians to have their land. Okay, they want the Palestinians to be free.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now this doesn't mean the end of the Jewish people. Absolutely not. Okay, all the Zionist propagandists out there, they're playing this game with the minds of people. They are trying to claim that everyone who asks for Palestinian freedom is calling for an Israeli genocide. Absolutely not. This is a lie. This is false propaganda.
I mean, even if we just look at the case of the Palestinians in Gaza, you know, just when we look at the situation, 80% of the people in Gaza before October the 7th were aid dependent.
Yes.
We're talking now before, this is before the current happenings that, you know, in the news and everyone is seeing on Twitter and YouTube and everywhere. Before the 7th of October, 80% of the population in Gaza was aid dependent.
Because there's a blockade.
Okay.
I've been to it, by the way. Yeah, I've been to Gaza.
Yeah, you've been in Gaza. I mean, subhanAllah, I completely forgot that. So how is the situation? When you went, what year did you go in?
You went for
humanitarian aid.
Yeah, I mean, when 2008, in 2008.
So how was the situation when you went?
I saw buildings completely crumbled. I could not imagine that a people can do this to another people.
I mean, people don't realize, 2.2, the population of Gaza is approximately 2.2 million people.
Yes. So
that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
You know, when you think of Gaza, maybe some people, they don't know, they think of 30,000 people. There's a lot of people in Gaza. And actually, historically speaking, it is the longest siege. Because they're essentially besieged. Yeah. They don't have autonomy over their own water, their own electricity. Now, I mean, what's showing us, they don't even have autonomy over their food.
The Nazis did not keep the Jewish people for this long. Of course, they killed many hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, and they've done evil. Well, yeah, us as Muslims will be the first to tell you that they've done evil by doing
that.
We are the
people who saved the Jewish people from extinction for over 1,000 years.
I mean, look, let's look at some historical examples. We have, for example, the Fourth Council of Toledo, where we have Visigothic kings, agreeing, you know, to basically, essentially persecute Jews.
Yes.
You know, persecute Jews, okay?
Muslims saved the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Wherever they went, Spain, for example, okay, Jewish historians have written this. They have Zion Zohar, for example, is a Jewish historian. He wrote this, that when Muslims came to Spain in the year 711, the Jewish people welcomed them as liberators because they were facing heavy persecution. And the list, I mean, the history is so vast. For 1,000 years, there are so many Jewish testimonies. The golden age of the Jewish people was in Al-Andalus, right? In Islamic Spain. Okay. So when people try to paint this image that this is anti-Semitism, pro-Palestinian movement is anti-Semitism in disguise, this is all a lie. It's a pack of lies. People just want good for the Palestinian people. People want them to have equal rights. People want them to have food, medicine, education, freedom, basic human freedom for 17 years, right under our nose, right under our nose. 17 years of blockade. It's a concentration camp.
I mean, just to give you an example, I mean, of what's happening on October the 30th, which is only 2 or 3 days ago, right? The Turkish Palestinian hospital was bombed in Gaza. This is the only hospital that is capable of giving cancer treatment to civilians in Gaza.
Yes.
It's the only hospital capable of that.
Yeah.
Guess what happened to that hospital yesterday? Just yesterday.
Hmm.
The hospital had to shut down due to fuel shortages.
Hmm.
It's completely shut down.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is the situation that we are facing now. It's a humanitarian crisis. We have many Western people speaking out even now. So the
masses are speaking out.
There's many things we can say about this.
For some reason, journalists and politicians have sold out.
Yeah, yeah.
They have sold out. They have sold their souls to the devil.
I mean, there's some people that are speaking out. There
of course. I'm not saying all of it. Yeah.
That are speaking out. Yeah. And you know,
even some politicians are resigning.
Yeah. And they lose. Some people have lost their jobs, etc.
Yeah.
You know, because of what they've said and the positions they've held. The fact of the matter is, I mean, there's so many points we can mention about this.
Yes.
We've given you a brief history about how Palestine was essentially handed over, you know, to the Israelis, and then we have the Israeli state, okay? And we had various, I mean, there's so many things to mention. In 1948, the year within itself, it's very important to mention this, almost 1 million Palestinians were displaced, okay?
This was one of the greatest crimes of the British Empire. This was one of the greatest crimes committed by the British colonial rule in Palestine. The British, you know, after the First World War, they had taken control of Palestine under the British mandate, and they committed one of the greatest crimes in human history. And whatever is taking place today is basically as a result of what happened then. Okay, so this is why a lot of British citizens today, they feel that something has to be done about this.
I mean,
I told you I was listening
to an interview of Ilan Pape about recent events.
Yeah.
You know, he's in Haifa at the moment, right? Or at the time of the interview. And I was listening to what he was saying, and he actually explicitly mentioned, you know, it's a case of settler colonialism. It's the same thing that happened in the US, same thing that happened in all of these other places.
The problem is people don't know.
It's just very recent. That's the thing.
Yes.
The unique thing about the Palestinian causes, you know, with the US, it happened hundreds of years ago.
It's 150 years ago.
I mean, it happened.
I mean, less than now. I would say just over 100 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, but when the Europeans first found, you know, the you know, what
European,
is now known
European
as the
settlers
States,
were coming in. They were driving the natives towards the west and eventually killed them off.
Yeah.
Okay, killed off the habitats, killed off the people.
But 1948 is less than 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's quite a modern case, a very modern, perhaps the most modern case of settler colonialism.
Yeah.
Right.
It's unbelievable that it's happening in this age.
Yeah.
The so-called 21st century, the modern age where people ought to know better. We have Geneva Convention, we have Bill of Rights, we have United Nations. I mean, to talk of secular institutions, right?
Yeah.
We have Islam. As Muslims, Islam is absolutely beautiful. When it comes to rights of others, okay, it is very, very clear. Islam is very clear, okay? It is the Europeans, the Western world, that needed these rules and regulations to behave themselves, right? Okay, but are they being applied? Are these laws being applied today? These laws were put in place, of course, because of atrocities, because of mass murder, because of genocides that were taking place in the Western world. And these laws, I mean, after the Second World War, because there were so many atrocities committed by all sides, laws are put in place. Are they being applied today? What lessons have we learned from our history is the question. What lessons have we learned? Okay? What lessons? ISIS was evil. People were making noise. Show me when ISIS killed 10,000 people. As evil, as barbaric as they were. When did they actually kill 10,000 people in 3 weeks? In 25 days, 10,000 people.
Around 4,000 of which were children.
More than 4,000. Mm-hmm. I would say more than half are children. And how about countless people who have lost their limbs?
22,000 permanently
disabled. And there are people still under the rubble. They will never be found.
I mean, just recently, within the last 48 hours or so, the Jabalia refugee camp was bombed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the largest refugee camp in all of Gaza, bombed, you know, in this manner. And people ask a question, which is, you know, one of the responses that's given, by Israeli authorities is...
They're targeting Hamas.
Right?
Yeah.
But you know, someone posed the question, and I thought it's a really good question. And that is, if we found out there were Hamas leaders hiding in a school in Israel, would that be justification to bomb that school? Right?
According to Israelis, because they're killing their own hostages.
So on a moral level, there's a moral question here, which is, if we find that there's a criminal on a train, does it become justifiable to
blow the train,
wipe out the whole train with the civilians and children and babies and women and innocent men?
The first thing we need to remember here is that Israel is the occupier.
Yeah, I mean,
Israel is the occupier. We don't condone any attacks on civilian people, no matter where they are.
Yeah, it's against Islam.
It's against Islam, full stop. We are Muslims. We follow our principles. Okay, even if my own son commits a crime, I have to tell him that it's a crime. Okay, it's not acceptable, right? We have principles. You've taken the land away and you put them in a concentration camp, in a prison, in a giant prison, with no access to medicine, education, or even basic freedom, and then you're bombing them on top of that. Where is justice? Where is humanity? Where is any standard? What happened to people? What happened to all these journalists and politicians? I don't understand.
I mean, I want to give you an example. For example, just recently, and I think this really sums up, how some people are thinking in this whole thing. We had an Israeli Knesset member. She's an assembly member, Mirav Ben Ari. Okay, when discussing concerns related to Palestinian children, she mentioned the Palestinian children brought it upon themselves. The children of Gaza brought it upon themselves.
To me, Musa,
can you believe that?
These are the most. I don't understand how they're even running a state. These kind of people. How can you run a state? How can you have access to such dangerous technology when you think like that? It's unbelievable. These are
public statements, by the way.
They don't feel ashamed of them.
Yeah.
They don't feel ashamed. They have the courage to come and say these things in public, as bad, as evil as these things are. It is unbelievable.
I mean, even in this interview I was listening to, Ilan Pappi was mentioning that about Netanyahu himself, that he's only giving interviews to non-Israeli basically news outlets, so he's not actually being interviewed by any Israeli outlets, and he's putting on an image, etc. and whatnot, and he's coming out with dehumanizing rhetoric towards the Palestinians. This is what an Israeli historian is telling you.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's not what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of things to mention here. I think one question I would ask, which is, there's many things we'd mention, and I think what we should give the people some action points on this. Some practical action points I would like to mention is they should watch your lecture on the history of Palestine to know the deeper history and some of the modern history related to the topic.
Yes.
Read up on the Balfour Declaration as well. Read up on An-Nakba, which is essentially the 1948 ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians. What happened? How 500 or so villages were cleared out of Palestinians, around 800,000 Palestinians forced to leave their homes, forced to leave their villages, etc. That's many people. There's nearly a million people. Read up on An-Nakba. Read the book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, and educate yourself on the matter. That's one thing I'd mention. Are there any points you would mention about this? Because, look, we can mention so many things randomly and stuff like that. The reality is people need to educate themselves, and we need Muslims who are actually doing productive things in this whole thing.
Absolutely. I would advise, don't be silent in the face of this oppression. Don't ignore genocide. All of you have to be active, legally active. You have to remain within the legal boundaries of the countries you live in. Do not break the law. Do not make statements that break the law. Okay? You may feel frustrated. You may be very angry. You want to say things. You want to do things. Please control yourselves and do not break the law. Legal freedoms allow us to do enough for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Okay? Be legally active. Do activism. Do not sit on this information. Don't just watch TV and cry at home. Okay? Don't just sit on the musalla. Okay? Actually, dua, prayer, sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the most powerful of our weapons. But at the same time, my brothers and sisters, be active. When I say active, okay, talk about it. Write emails. Okay, join any demonstration that helps raise awareness. Okay, again, do not break the law. Do not break. That doesn't help the cause. It actually helps the oppressor. It helps the people who are killing our brothers and sisters in Palestine. And this is a human responsibility. This is not only for the Muslims. All people watching this program, this is for you. I'm talking to even Israeli citizens who may be listening to this in Israel right now. This is your right. This is happening in your name. Your politicians are claiming this in your name. You need to rise up. You need to let the world know that you're not part of this. You have to change something, because this cannot go on forever. You cannot do this to people.
Oppression doesn't last forever.
Absolutely, it cannot. Kindness, compassion does. Compassion lives forever. But oppression and tyranny falls. By nature, it is to fall. Okay, that's what I have to say. So be active in your capacities. If you're a journalist, then you must talk the truth. Talk the truth to power. Okay, if you're a politician, wake up. Wake up. You will face God one day. Okay, this money, this influence, this power is not going to remain forever. Okay, even these prime ministers, they become sad cases after they lose office. Okay, they go and sit home at home, and they read newspapers, and then they're hiding from people. They're hiding from people. They can't face people because of the atrocities they committed when they were in power. And this power lasts for only a few months, 4 years, 8 years at max. What's going to happen then? You're going to go home and sit somewhere in a corner hiding from people. You can't face people because of your hypocrisy and your cowardice, your absolute cowardice in the face of a genocide. You're the last people to talk about justice and peace and law. Right in front of your eyes, a group of people, an extremist group of people, the Zionists are committing a genocide. They're breaking all human laws. They are breaking all laws. They are war criminals. And yet you have the audacity to speak for them. It's unbelievable. So remain active, everyone. Do not sleep on this. Do not sit on this. And it cannot stop. This activism has to go on until there is peace in the Middle East and the Palestinian people have the same rights as everyone else. That's all I have to say. So academics, politicians, journalists, common man, everyone has a responsibility towards this. Okay, if you will allow this to happen, as they say, what goes around comes around. Okay, if it can happen to Palestinians, it can happen anywhere in the world. And then the reaction may be the same. We don't want this to be repeated. Never again. You know, the Jewish people say about the Holocaust, never again, we are with you, never again. No Holocaust of the Jewish people, no Holocaust of the Palestinian people, never again, against anyone, no matter who you are, wherever you come from, whatever religion you belong to, never again, never a genocide against anyone. No one deserves it.
That's right.
That's all I have to say. That's for right. Now.
Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless you all. Please do subscribe, inshallah, to keep up with the content. And as mentioned, do whatever you can. All of us are capable of something that makes a difference. Do whatever you can, inshallah, that is in your capability, within your legal means. And inshallah ta'ala, we will see you in the next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.